Hi guys, just before you listen to this week's episode of Worst Foot Forward, guess who's back from Edinburgh?
Hello ladies and gentlemen.
Yay!
Yeah,
and all the people rejoiced
that he had left their city. Hello, it's lovely to be back in my living room with one of my best mates recording my favourite podcast. First up, thank you for the people who came to see the show.
Yeah, you did, didn't you?
Yeah, we had Michael Ritchie and Alan Sharp, long-term listeners and supporters, came to see it. And I know a few other people said that they had listened to the show previously as well. So hello to them. And hello to you. There was, I think, a Danish couple. I can't remember the name of the girl, but Emil was the gentleman who formed a key part of the storylines of one of my show, who started listening to it. So if you're listening to this extra episode, hello, Emil and partner. It was lovely to meet you.
Oh, nice. You also finally paid off a debt, didn't you, to Alan?
I did. I can't remember why we had this debt, but we told Alan that we'd give him a finger of fudge, literal, not metaphorical.
I think basically said if anyone, it was last time you were in Edinburgh, if anyone who listened to the show came up to you and said they'd come to see your gig because they listened to the show.
Yes.
They would get some fudge, and Alan indeed did that.
Well, I couldn't find any figure of fudge anywhere, which is to the detriment of the Scottish supermarkets and corner shops, so instead he got some Werther's Originals.
That's
because I'm a creepy grandfather. Now, we have not got a full episode this week because I've been in Edinburgh for a month and Barry's about to go off on holiday in a few days' time to the Algarve, should you want to try and bump into him.
Please don't.
On holiday. So we're going to do a best of offcuts episode. I'll be perfectly honest, I have not edited it together yet, so I don't know what's going to be in it.
There'll be bits from episodes that we didn't manage to include, because, you know, we tend to record, these episodes tend to be about an hour long, but oftentimes with a guest we'll ramble on for 20, 30, 40 minutes more than we should do.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I imagine there is going to be more nonsense, filth and B-roads than actual hard trivia and facts.
Yeah.
So enjoy whatever it is I decide to put together. We hope it keeps you entertained and fills your worst foot gap in the meantime. Is worst foot gap a horrible euphemism?
It is now.
Great. Coming up next week, we've got a Patreon episode. We've got World's Worst Railway with British comedy circuit legend Steve Gribbin. We've got some others in the diary for next week. There's a backlog of Patreon episodes, which has been quite long, we know. And we're going to hopefully tick some of those off when we record in 10 days' time.
We have been slowly getting through them, and then we've had a couple of more recent Patreon donors appear, so we're adding them to the list, and it's very exciting. Thank you for those people who keep doing that, and visit patreon.com/worstfootforward if you want to find out what all the buzz is about.
Yeah, precisely.
Also, if you want to find us elsewhere online, you can find us on Twitter at worstfoot, we're on Facebook, we're on our website, worstfootforwardpodcast.com, and you can send us an email to worstfootforwardpodcast@gmail.com if you want to suggest guests. We're particularly looking for new guests. We're booking in some dates in September and October and hunting various people down. If you have someone who you think would just be interesting to have on, then do get in touch. Also, in a couple of weeks, my play Vespertilio is going to the Dublin Fringe Festival. It's going to be at the Boys' School in Smock Alley in Dublin from the 17th to the 22nd of September. If you're an Irish listener who heard me wanging on about it back in February and would like to come see it, or if you're a listener from elsewhere and you're in Dublin at the time, do come along. I'm very proud of the play. The cast are amazing. And the Dublin Fringe Festival is an amazing festival, and there'll be the quality of work there is always really, really cool. And Dublin in September is a nice place to be.
It really is. Yeah. I should add, it is an award-winning play.
It is an award-winning play,
and it's bloody excellent. And I'm not just saying it because the playwright is opposite me. It is a damn fine piece of work.
That's very kind.
I'm going to throw in just a couple of things for myself. I am going to be taking my show from Edinburgh, Fable Maker, on tour. All being well, it's going to be a perpetual tour.
But like the Rolling Stones.
Yeah, like Dylan on his never-ending tour. Just doing increasingly weird cover versions of my own material in a strange, croaky, fraggle voice.
Story! Never-ending story! I want to go to a Dylan concert where he comes out on the back of that dragon thing.
That giant big white dog dragon thing. Quite fitting that we've wandered off on a bizarre B road for what's going to be this extras episode. But anyway, if you want to come see me improvise an hour of storytelling on September the 11th, I'm doing Fablemaker at Camden Comedy Club in the Camden Head in Camden. And then on the 13th of September, I'm at the Comedy Surgery in Newton Abbott.
Tickling people's funny bones, presumably.
Yeah. That's in Devon. I cannot remember the name of the actual venue, but look up Comedy Surgery Fablemaker. I'll be there.
Mm.
So that is your social calendar set for all of September.
Lovely.
Now, let's listen to whatever cobbled together stuff and nonsense I've decided is worthwhile your time.
Here's us from the past.
They're so clearly an albums band. The only reason...
Yeah,
if you have bought this for yourself, you are an idiot.
That's it, because...
If someone bought it for you thinking, they like this,
yeah,
that's fine. You've gone off. But if you went out and bought that instead of spending £2
yeah
on Kid A, as I'm sure that is now on
yeah
CD.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, some albums are worth the whole experience. Like... because they're my frame of reference for all music, REM, Automatic for the People. The whole, everyone's like, oh, everybody heard such a sad song. But it's in the context of an album which is about coming through thoughts about suicide, you know? It's worth the context.
The Mountain Goats, who are my favourite band, although, is it fair to call them, do you know the Mountain Goats?
Yeah.
Is it fair to call them a band? It is just one guy, really.
Yeah, but in the way that Iron and Wine are a band, even though it's just one guy.
Yeah, okay. Mm. It's a fine comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have two styles of song, arguably three. Sad and very sad. And the arguable third is sad yet triumphant. And it's the thing that gets me with people who don't like Radiohead. You go, yeah, the third, it's just depressing. You're like... oh, no, bad music is depressing.
What you've done is you've listened to their greatest hits album and assumed all their songs are like that.
It's almost like to those people you need to go, you have never experienced melancholy. That's what it is, and melancholy is beautiful, so long as you don't dwell in it for too long.
But there's anger in Radiohead as well.
Yeah.
It's not miserable. I mean, they're inarguably... less poppy than some things, but I don't understand how, like, yeah, that's really sad. It's a criticism of anything.
Yes. Sometimes that's what you need.
Yeah, exactly. Do you want to go watch Hamlet now? It's a bit sad, isn't it? just get you down. He'll die at the end. Sorry, spoiler alert.
Come on, mate.
Yeah.
Laertes is fine.
Only got to Hamlet for the jokes.
Yeah.
Only got to Hamlet for the play in the play.
Kiss my air ass.
That is definitely from Carry On Hamlet.
I tell you, like, I think the part I most want to play, I can't wait to be old enough to play Polonius.
Yeah, you'd be an amazing Polonius.
Fucking amazing.
Yeah, you would be. Yeah, it makes that big headed. No, that is exactly right. You were born to play Polonius. And anyone who says otherwise should fight Tom.
I'd be a good Osric as well, but
not as good a part though, is it? No, just gets many laughs. And then you could double up later on as King of Norway or something like that.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think if you're going to play Polonius, you need to come and just have a little sticker on the back of your clipboard that has the best of Radiohead on it. Sort of thing that
give
you listen to.
Give it to
Hamlet
to listen to. This will change your
mind. I hear people like, you like this sort of thing.
Emo, yeah. Hamlet. He is the most emo.
He really is. I love about, like, what do you read, sir? Words, words, words. One of my favourite Neil Young songs.
Problem is now, Hamlet 20 years ago would have been listening to Radiohead. Hamlet now would be listening to Owl City or something like that.
Who are Owl City?
Isn't he the guy from Death Cab for Cutie, but he's gone solo? Yeah, I think that's him.
Problem is Hamlet now is a fucking snowflake. That's the problem with him.
Go back to your safe space in Elsinore.
He's a pampered rich boy.
Oh yeah, you want to play him as like as a trust fund kid?
Yeah, I mean that'd be the way to play him.
Could he claim affluenza for all of the murders that he
did?
It's a great day off. Right, I need to do
I'm just imagining James Van Der Beek.
Hamlet 90210.
Ophelia singing, so kiss me.
With the herbs.
In the herbs, yeah, yeah. Was it Alvin and the Chipmunks? Is that what it was called?
Yeah.
So Alvin got top billing of the three of them.
Yeah, well, yeah. The other two chipmunks were the backing singers.
Right. They were like the guys in E17 who stand at the back and click.
Whereas Alvin ran himself over in his own car.
They all resented Alvin, though.
I really want to see the E! Hollywood True Lives story of Alvin and the Chipmunks.
It's really sad.
We did a lot of walnut back in the days.
He was very ruthless with Alvin.
Yeah. He was. I mean, the saddest thing is that actually Chip and Dale are no longer with us, and Simon and Theodore have actually replaced them.
They went off to be Rescue Rangers. It was a bit too hard.
Yeah,
they're thrilled seeking caught up with them.
It's a hard life being a rescue ranger.
You can imagine the Disney guys, though, when they came up with, what are we going to call the two of them? We call them Chip and Dale. Like, Chip and Dale? We're taking the rest of the day off, guys. Yeah.
And,
come on, we're going to the pub.
And they don't wear clothes.
Oh, they don't wear clothes?
Yeah. I think Alvin, Simon, Theodore wear clothes. If I remember rightly, Chip and Dale don't wear clothes.
But Alvin and Simon, they do the classic weird Disney thing where they wear the top half, but not the bottom half.
Yeah.
Like Donald Duck. Not that Donald Duck has got a massive corkscrew duck schlong, but...
Duck schlong.
Woo!
I wish he did, though. That'd be fun. I bet someone's done it. If someone hasn't already done, like, weird anime porn of Disney characters with that animal's actual biologically correct penis...
Oh, that's very niche. Let's
put the call out now. Any listeners?
I'm pretty sure they have.
Yeah, that's more pedantry than pornography. Which is a very rare Jane Austen novel.
Pedantry then pornography.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, it's so unbelievable. That's not to scale.
They're like the opposite of those people who used to go around the Vatican putting fig leaves on the genitals of old statues. They're like, this duck and mouse is missing its penis. We must correct this. Well, it's gotten weird early, hasn't it?
It has gotten weird early.
I remember the thing.
Go for it.
The other thing was, you know, this is obviously sci-fi, right?
Yeah.
And sci-fi and science. I got asked the other day, you know, don't all scientists hate sci-fi because it's not rational? It's not, like, truth-based. It's not all this thing. And it's like, no, you've got this wrong. Like, this is how you deal with stuff that the facts of science don't always deal with. Like, this is dealing with human emotions and human, like, addictions and human things. And you're trying to square that with a rational scientific viewpoint. So, like, this is incredible. It's like, the thing about science fiction is it always, despite the fact you've got 22 different types of kryptonite, it has its own, like, universe. Like, most science fiction is pretty self-consistent. Like, it has its own laws, its own universe, its own stuff. It has its own, like, websites devoted to its periodic table of kryptonite.
That's why I think fairy tales exist, because, and why story exists, because it enables human beings to talk about a variety of problems in life and emotions in a much more approachable way, and that's why sci-fi exists, for the weird grey area bits of science that make very little sense.
I've never met a scientist who doesn't love some form of science fiction and has in some way in their teenage years, like, you know, read Terry Pratchett or read Douglas Adams, and that in a way has not inspired them in their, like, you know, scientific research, but inspired them in their why, you know, the why of doing science, not just the what is science.
That's the beauty of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, of that it is not science, but stuff like the infinite probability drive works. It's got narrativium straight through it. It works for us.
And it makes your brain work in a way that's like, ooh, I can hold all these ideas in my head. I can juggle them around. I can get my head around things that like, don't seem real. And then you're like, oh, I'm going to do a course in quantum physics. And you're like, oh, this is doing the same thing to my brain. Oh, it's the same thing. I have to hold all these different things in my head and I can't see or feel it. It's not real, but it is real. So I get into arguments a lot with people about science fiction and science and this total misunderstanding that they're like, you know, the opposite of each other.
They are two sides of the same coin, hand in hand. A coin that if you flip it up in the air, it lands on its side.
Yeah. As you may have noticed, we don't have a guest pitching stuff for this episode. Part of it is, reason is because we wanted to showcase Lydia as our judge. And also, the reason is because we had a couple of guests drop out of our recording this week. And so because of that, we decided to talk about the world's worst hosts and turn the spotlights on ourselves.
As we grovel before Lydia in the hopes she'll give us approval. And I think whichever of us, one of us wins this episode, the other one's fired. That's what's at stake today?
Oh, wow. Well, so this is like a WWE retirement match. Like, whoever loses, the other one lamps them with a 2x4 covered in barbed wire.
Do they do retirement matches in WWE?
Yeah.
Well, instead of, like, whacking each other with a chair, you, like, present them with a carriage clock.
And then whack them over the head with a carriage clock. Yeah. So, hey, you go first with some of the stuff you found.
I looked at worst Football World Cup host nations.
Okay.
I was looking at which was the World Cup host nation, which was the lowest ranked world nation to host a club, because there was a big controversy when Qatar was awarded the 2022 World Cup. They were ranked something like 113th in the world, which would be by far the lowest ranked team to ever host.
But let's be fair, there are 205 or so FIFA ranked countries, so that's solid mid-table.
It's mid-table, but looking at, you know, where people tend to be ranked in the rankings, when South Africa hosted in 2010, they were ranked 83rd in the world. And they were 90th until, like, the month beforehand. They won a couple of sort of easy, friendly matches. They remained the only host nation to actually fail to qualify from their own group at their own World Cup as well. Although they weren't the lowest ranked team at that World Cup. North Korea were ranked lower. They were 105th. Still not as low as Qatar were.
Surely the North Korea World Cup is only around the corner.
You would imagine so, but the only teams taking part are North Korea. And Kim Jong-un will win it inexplicably. He'll score 17 hat-tricks along the way.
Well, that's like, we might have spoken about it before. Did you see recently Vladimir Putin played an ice hockey match?
He scored something like 6 goals.
Yes, and essentially he treats the other players as training cones.
Yes, yeah. And then fell over some, like, a red carpet they'd rolled out onto the ice at the end as well. It was great. Russia in 2018 hosted the World Cup and they were ranked 70th, and they were actually the lowest ranked team at their own World Cup. There was sort of fears that they wouldn't perform well as a host nation. But they did make it to the quarterfinals, losing on penalties. Yeah, they lost only on penalties to Croatia, who lost in the final, obviously.
Yeah, and that could have been... I was waiting for Russia to get through to the semi-final against England literally 6 weeks after the whole Novichok spying issue. Like, no one would have wanted to shake hands at the start of that match.
Yeah. They just, instead of young kids walking out as mascots, the English should have just brought out like a kid in a papier-mâché version of Salisbury Cathedral.
I'm a Liverpool fan, so we've a lot of affection for Blackburn as a nice team from the north.
Yeah, and also they won the league at Anfield.
Stopped United winning.
Yeah, but also you nearly fucked it up. You beat us.
Yeah,
that day, and when that second goal went in, I forgot that United still needed to score.
So they're
drawing and they still needed to win. But I forgot that moment when Jimmy Redknapp, I think, scored. I thought it had gone.
Oh, it feels like a very underdog way to win the Premier League. Get out 2-0 at Anfield.
The ideal way is the way that City won it.
Yes.
Two goals in the last 3 minutes. So,
And that was also to stop Man United winning the league, and that was the most ideal way to win.
What, to stop Man United winning it? Yeah. Is the ideal way to win. Yeah.
Also, to snatch it from them.
Two
like that,
injury time goals. Yeah. One wasn't enough. They needed two.
Yeah.
That was... I think I celebrated that day like I was a lifelong suffering Man City fan.
Yeah, you do that. I wrote that and when Liverpool won the Champions League, those are the only two times I've ever celebrated for a club that wasn't mine.
Yeah.
Oh, and a little bit for Leicester, because obviously Leicester and Blackburn,
Leicester didn't have the immediacy
It was such a stroll in the park at the end. It was almost a bit anticlimactic.
Yeah, they won by 10 points. I know.
They won with three games to go and you're like, this would, you know,
if they just had snatched on the last minute
winner, would have been the greatest story. But it's like, just a stroll in the park for you guys at the end.
Yeah, really was. And but the difference was that obviously Leicester had they had some very, very likable footballers like Christian Fuchs, who was a great guy.
Kante as well.
And some less likable footballers like Jamie Vardy.
I'm sulking Mahrez.
Yeah.
But we loved him that season.
Yeah, that was
great. I quite like Vardy. Vardy reminds me of one of those lads that I occasionally meet that is a bit too familiar with me. And, you know, we'll have a bit of racial banter, but if anyone else ever said it, he'd go and kick their head in.
Yeah, oh yeah.
That's the sort of person that Jamie Vardy reminds me of.
Is it just me, but don't he and Harry Kane look very similar, like they've been manufactured by the same company?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, Jamie Vardy is the sports version of Harry Kane, because he's all like tail fins, like his chin is just a giant tail fin.
Sharper edges.
Yeah, absolutely. Jamie Vardy actually reminds me of, you know, when you were at secondary school and there was like the one kid who was better than everyone else, but actually in footballing terms, wouldn't even play for the city, let alone the county or whatever. Jamie Vardy looks like
you'd give the ball to Jamie
and he'll skin everyone and score for his 14th goal of the afternoon.
But he's also terrible in maths. So see where he ends up in 10 years time.
But his journey was interesting, wasn't it, because he was non-league for ages, lot later than you'd
that's the thing. That I think that everyone found attractive about him, is that he had that fairy tale, he added that little bit of stardust to the whole team with that extra bit of underdog.
Riyad Mahrez, like half a mil from like the French second division or something. Yeah. It's a great story.
Well, it's like when Claudio Ranieri turned up and he's such a lovely avuncular figure, and he apparently said to them their first training session, something like, we will have fun together and maybe I will teach you how to play football a little. It's like, oh, Claudio, you lovely man.
He's like the father-in-law everyone wished they had. He comes in.
It's a good child.
Yeah, yeah. He's not your dad. He's like someone who's entered your life late on and just gone, hey, I can help you put up those blinds.
So is Yuengling the erotic terrorist your worst wrestler, or do you have a final, what about the guy who blew the gas into her vagina?
No, it's Jesus Christ. No,
he's one of the greatest legitimate wrestlers of all time.
I can't do that. Like it's just an amazing story. No, the one I went for is one who I think mixes together a really quite tasteless gimmick and a terrible finishing move. It was a guy called Kamala.
Oh.
The Ugandan giant.
Only
got 1 foot now.
He's got.
I like your response. I think we could name any wrestler, and your response would be dead. Suicide. Only got 1 foot.
Got diabetes, isn't it?
Yeah.
Genuinely has. I'm not really. Yeah.
Wait, was that legitimate diabetes or was it a gimmick diabetes?
No, it's not gimmick diabetes. I mean, that is living for the gimmick. There's been more than one Kamala though. So.
Oh my god. So what is he like? Triggers Broom in Only Fools and Horses.
Yes.
Like,
yeah, but with different legs.
Yeah.
So where did Kamala, was he in America or?
He was in America. His real name was Jim Harris, and he had really shit nicknames like Sugar Bear, Ugly Bear, and Big. And he would come on. He claimed to be a former bodyguard of Idi Amin. That's not a happy backstory.
Got to bear in mind, where he was doing this gimmick was in Memphis. Yeah. Racist as fuck.
Well, yeah, he came to the stage like wearing like this huge war mask with a spear. And a loincloth. And you take
what was his name? His real name again?
His real name is Jim Harris.
Jim Harris.
And he would be wearing this white face paint, and he looks so sad. Like, it's one thing not to be able to sell what you're doing, but you could see behind his eyes him going, what the fuck am I doing?
What I'd say, and this is me trying desperately to win this competition, what I'd say is, in Memphis, where he debuted that gimmick, they sold out arenas based around him, because he was genuinely seen as a... They used to do, and it's very racist, they used to do the whole kind of wild man sort of gimmick. They did a lot with the Samoan guys, and with him, people just went nuts for him. Especially because I think a lot of them went, wasn't he called Sugar Bear last week? He was a normal bloke.
You put some white face paint on him. You think we still don't recognise him?
He used to have two stars painted over his nipples and a moon over his belly button.
Yeah. Oh, what?
But he also had a WWE run out of it.
Yeah,
did he? Which did nothing.
As
Kamala.
He feuded with The Undertaker at one point. Because they had to make an extra big coffin for the death, the casket match they're having.
Oh, come on. That's just a little bit like Bradford City getting into the Premier League. And it's like, well done, lads.
See you next year.
The three shit things about him, and I'll let Barry talk about his. His finishing move was terrible. He had one which is called the armpit claw, which is where you would just lock onto someone's armpit and squeeze it until they went, that's really painful. Yeah. Stop it now. That's not a showstopper.
Yeah.
He, to try and humanise him at one point, his manager, called Reverend Slick, took him bowling. And that was the thing to try and show that this wild man was actually an American.
Like they had a bit where they filmed him bowling.
Yeah. And they used to do shit like that a lot.
Yeah, they've got a lot of time to fill.
There's a rule in wrestling as well. Someone wheels out a cake, someone's going in the cake.
He did.
It's like
Chekhov's gun.
If there's a cake in the ring, someone's going in the cake.
Hogan's cake. Which
is the name of one of his videos.
Yeah.
Oh, no. No, we're not thinking about us. No, I can't stop thinking of pink elephants.
Oh, the thought of him hulking up before he get... Anyway.
That's not a 24-inch python.
Is that a cake in your pocket, or are you just pleased to... Anyway, the other thing he did, we talked about Andre the Giant earlier. I love Andre the Giant. It's impossible not to love Andre the Giant.
I call everyone boss because that's what he used to do.
Really?
Like, genuinely, you'll find... I text people a lot and use boss. Or I call people champ because I'm a wrestling promoter, and that's how you talk to people. And I call people boss because he did.
Does that mean that all kebab shop owners love Andre the Giant?
Yes.
Good. Easy question, easy answer. Kamala pulled a lost two matches to Andre the Giant, and both times he pulled a magnum, the gun, not the,
not
ice, cream.
The ice cream.
Come here, big fella. It's white chocolate.
He knew he couldn't resist.
Gonna feed him into submission.
Yeah.
This one's peanut butter and he's got an allergy.
That is a genuinely excellent storyline. So anyone who's that shit, that racist, has lost a leg, has got a terrible finishing move, and who bullied Andre the Giant.
Yeah.
He is my worst wrestler of all time.
Very good.
Worst Foot Forward is part of Podnose, the UK's leading independent entertainment podcasting network. For episode archives of Worst Foot Forward and all of the shows on the network, visit us at www.podnose.com. You can also follow us on Twitter via @podnose or send us an email via admin@podnose.com.